Lord said this parable, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many other things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'"
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.
He is our shepherd.
Now you can sit down. 50% of you. We'll practice. A talent in the ancient Near East was a large silver coin. It was actually worth quite a bit of money. So to have like 1 talent was quite a bit. To have 5, that was quite a bit. To have 10 talents, that was a lot of money. That was a lot of silver to have. And we heard the parable how each, according to his ability, received those talents, basically all of the possessions of the Lord to take care of while he was gone. This parable, by the way, is like for us Westerners, it doesn't make much sense because we just don't have that context. But in the ancient Near East, any royal dignitary, like if you were to be king or have a royal standing, you have to go to Rome to present yourself to the emperor personally. So they understood the idea that some wealthy man, some lord, would leave his entire inheritance, all of his possessions to his servants, so that he could go to Rome and present himself before the emperor. That probably took months, you may have to imagine, long time to go to Rome and back to where you are. And so then after, even in the gospel, after a long time, the Lord returns. Yesterday with the catechumens, we talked about the role that all of us have as the, as I like to say, the laos tou theou, the people of God. And that is to be king, prophet, and, king, prophet, and, why am I drawing a blank?
Priest,
thank you. I feel like a president of ours. King, priest, and prophet. And the king, and this goes for the girls as well, we can call you a queen if you want, but the king, that meant that you share dominion of creation with God. No other creature does that. We bought a creature yesterday. We put him in a cage. I don't know if he has self-awareness, but he was not given the same kind of function and role that mankind has been given to have dominion and lordship over nature, over creation. And thus, Adam names the animals. We are all called to be priests. We are all called to offer thanksgiving to God. And so there's a temptation with us coming to church that I'm just kind of like watching a show. I'm watching the priest run around, do some things, the choir sing some songs, and then I go home, and what was the point? That's a temptation we have. Or to let our minds wander, or to think about, you know, the things that I have to do once church is over, or how busy I'm going to be this week. But the temptation has to go away because you are here to actualize your priesthood, to stand in God's presence. I'm not the only one in God's presence. Everybody here is also in God's presence. I just happen to be leading what all of you are also doing, is practicing your priesthood. And the greatest sacrifice, this is according to John Chrysostom, the greatest sacrifice we can offer as a priest is to thank God. And Father Schmemann would pick up on that and say, if you're capable of that, then you're capable of salvation. But don't raise your hand, but think to yourself, how many times am I not thankful to God? How many times do I not even consider it? How many times do I come to church and God is not even really a part of what's going on? As weird as that sounds. But we're human beings. And sometimes God is the last thing on our minds. But God should be the paramount thing on our minds. And thus the final role of being prophet. Being prophet does not mean predicting the future. It does not mean you're like one of the prophets of the Old Testament. What it means is you speak the truth. And borrowing from St. Francis of Assisi, always preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. But our whole being, our whole life, should be speaking the truth about God. If we can rightly rule with God, in creation. If we can be priests with God and give thanks, if we can be prophet and always preach, you see, then we become fully human. We become what God created us to be. But brothers and sisters, you know the sad story. That all fell apart at the fall. As soon as man determined that he would not be king with God, he would not be priest with God, nor would he even speak the truth about God, because after all, Eve was deceived by the guile of the serpent. And the moment that she and Adam ate from the tree, all three of those things fell apart. And they were no longer any of those things, but they were just simply eating unto themselves with no regard for anything. And therefore, God said, in this horrible condition that you and I never even think is horrible, but it is horrible. In this horrible condition that we find ourselves in, you have to leave the garden. Because there's a tree over there called the tree of life that you cannot touch in the situation you're in. One man will touch that tree, and then everybody else can touch it afterward. That one man who touches it will be Jesus Christ, and he won't touch it. He'll be nailed to it. He'll be nailed in the flesh to it. And then that becomes the tree of life for us. But what did God do in this world in which we live that has nothing to do with the world that God intended for us? Well, it does, but it doesn't because it's fallen. He gave us the church. He gave us the church in this world so that you and I could be healed of the fact that we have disregarded our role. We have taken those talents and said, we're like that last guy. I'm just not going to multiply those talents. I'm not going to do anything with my gift. But he gives us this wonderful thing we call the church, and he gives us creatures stewardship of that church. Now, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the first priest. He is the only priest, actually. My priesthood only is in the context of Christ. I am not a priest unto myself. I'm a priest in the context of Christ, who is the high priest. And I'm functioning in his place because it's Jesus Christ who is offering, not me. I'm just standing there. He's using my hands and my voice. And he has given us stewardship. And in stewardship, that means we take a very personal, intimate concern for the well-being of our church. And I've been to a few parishes, and I remember growing up as a boy, this idea of dues. God forbid. You got to pay your dues. You owe $2.50. They'd come around and collect. You got to owe your dues as if you belonged to a club. How tragic all those decades were when the people were reduced to pay your dues. No, you're not joining a club. There's no dues here. What we're asking is what God is asking, is to take stewardship of what God has given us here in Atwater. Maybe we're not so important, we're not so impressive. So what? Here we are. And we just brought in another catechumen, Ray, today. So slowly, this little community is having some impact out there. People are coming, and people are wanting to join and to be a part of this incredible thing called Christ Church. At the same time, each of you have been given talents according to your ability. Some may be the bread baker. Some may be singers. Some might be taking care of the facilities. Some might be serving. Some might just be able to give a kind smile, a kind word, which can be very powerful to people who come to us, because sometimes people come to us very vulnerable and in a lot of pain. And sometimes they're just checking things out, and a kind word is enough to maybe change something. Some of you have the gift and the talent of reading somebody and giving them something they need at that moment. Whatever that talent is, God gave us, each of us, something to contribute. And the encouragement is, maximize that. Do what you do well. Look for opportunities to serve in other areas. Take good stewardship of the church. Not just financially, that's important, but stewardship is more than finances. Stewardship is taking intimate concern for the health and well-being and building up. It should never be a situation where I go to church and I'm kind of indifferent about everything else that goes on. And while I'm not here to judge anybody, because everybody's like in a process, not everyone is in the kind of in the same area, so to speak. But if we come to church and we have really no concern for anything outside of whatever, you know, I'm getting, then we risk being that man who was given the one talent. We don't have to do anything spectacular. We don't have to do anything great. We don't even have to do anything noticeable, because so many of you do things that are unnoticed. Usually, I notice everything, and I probably don't say enough. But people can work behind the scenes, and sometimes our gift, our talent, requires us to be a little more visible and out front, so to speak. But whatever that talent is, brothers and sisters, it's valued. It's valued. Even if you're just cleaning the bathroom, or mopping the floor, or taking out the trash, or pulling a weed, whatever it is, no one's going to know. No one's going to praise you. But then it's worth it. It's valuable. And God thanks us for utilizing the gifts that He's given us for the building up, the upkeep, the proclamation, the thanksgiving, and the ruling over creation with Him. And of course, the saints are the ones that do this in the best way. The saints truly are co-rulers with God over creation, because many of them have power over creation, like raising the dead. Many of them are priests because they were thankful to God and spent a life being thankful to God. And many of them, well, I would say all of them, are prophetic. All of them spoke the truth about who God is. So even though we sort of cast aside those important gifts and roles, it doesn't mean we can't strive to acquire those roles, because that's what the church is all about. The church is about strengthening, helping, and encouraging, and giving us that ability to function in the way that God intended. And when we receive Holy Communion, when we receive the sacraments of the church, what we're doing is we're back in paradise. And that's why it's important when we come into the church that we cast aside our earthly concerns. We see ourselves in the kingdom of God, and we see ourselves as dignified creatures who stand in God's presence. The only one who's seated in God's kingdom is Christ. That's why we stand in His presence. We're not the Lord. Only the Lord, only the Master gets to sit. That's the ancient model, anyway, of how things were done. So we stand in God's presence. We stand in the kingdom. And I would add to not only be healed, but to gain our sanity. Because the only way a human being is able to function in this world is through Christ. Without Christ, without something going on more than themselves, human beings don't function very well. We become sloppy and lazy and slothful. We become indifferent. And then we become something less than we're called to be. God forbid that happens, but it does happen. And that's why the stronger we are, the more we can live like that, prophet, priest, and king, the more we can help those who have no clue what's going on. They have no clue of their high dignity. They have no clue of their calling. But they step foot in here because of the work that you have done and the roles that you have taken on. Then people from the outside can find a respite. They can find their dignity. They can find healing. They can find ultimately God's grace and God's love. And you being instruments of all of that. Amen.